lots more treats where that came from. So if you have grandkids or anybody that you need to send to, that is certainly an option. Oh, catch my breath a little bit. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In New Mexico, there's this place called Echo Canyon, or amphitheater, as the sign says, apparently. It's near the village of Abiquiu, not to be confused with Albuquerque, named after the Duke of Spain. Abiquiu means wild cherries and was first populated by the Tewa people, Pueblo Indians that lived in that part of what is now our country. More recently, it was the home of Georgia O'Keeffe, and you can still visit her home and studio there. Now, doubtless there are places similar to Echo Canyon throughout the world, but once in a while when I was a kid, we would happen to travel by this roadside attraction. And because my folks appreciated the chance to expose us to natural sights and experiences, or perhaps they needed to let us out of the car before we drove them bonkers from the back seat, they let us stop and go see. The path up to the enormous, inwardly domed rock was just a short little hike. I don't remember it being paved. Perhaps they've added that in the 40 years since I've been there. But as we eagerly plodded along the path, you could begin to hear the sounds of voices. Other kids and parents already at the end of the path, the dome repeating their words 2, 3, or 4 times as the sound waves bounced back and forth. And whether it was me or my sister, I can't remember, but one of us, I remember shouting in anticipatory acclamation, something like, "Almost there!" And because we were indeed almost there, even those words, after a delay of maybe even 2 seconds, were repeated back to us, an echo of our excitement to be in such a remarkable place. An echo is fascinating. To hear your own voice without your own effort at speaking the words, or to think about waves of movement in the air compressing and releasing in just the right waves to move words from our vocal cords out across the canyon and then back again to our ears, moving at such a remarkable speed, but also slow enough to take 2 or 3 seconds. Time enough to stop and wait and wonder, will it happen? Will it work for me? It's said that those Tewa peoples would gather in this place long before it was visited by white settlers. White settlers and antsy little kids that need a break from riding in the car. Storytellers of the Tewa people would practice their craft, reciting lines and giving voice to characters. And of course, the canyon would echo back their words so that the orators could hear what others heard. For it's certainly true that others hear us differently than we hear ourselves. If you've ever listened to yourself on a recording, you know this, and you've probably asked, "Is that really what I sound like?" To hear the words, to hear the words we say can also reveal intentions and meanings. Meanings that perhaps we didn't intend. Nuances carried on the slight forms of the words or a stress on a particular syllable. I imagine you've had to confess to a wounded loved one, "I didn't mean for my words to sound that way." An echo can be an editor of sorts to ourselves, can't it? Discipling us to think twice before we speak, or proofread before hitting send on the email that we we've just composed out of anger and frustration. But to hear our words repeated can also be a source of affirmation and thanksgiving. Perhaps you've said or done something that has made a positive difference in someone's life, and when we come to know that they in turn have paid it forward, repeating your goodwill in order to extend the blessing, the blessing is echoed indeed. A professor once told me a sign of success is not necessarily that you can have your work has been published. Anyone can get their work published, she said. Rather, it's when you see that a work that you've published is included as a footnote in someone else's work, an echo of your voice. That is a true honor. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome, saying, "The righteousness of God has been disclosed. The word has been spoken. The utterance of God's deep eternal intentions for all of creation has gone forth as surely as that very first word brought forth light into the cosmos." Paul declares, of course, that this word is none other than Jesus. Jesus spoken into the world, not just to be an example for us, not just to teach us a few good things, not even just to heal a few who may be blind or lame or possessed by demons, but to speak salvation. To speak salvation in the ears of every person, every creature, every tree and rock and molecule of the universe. God's purpose in Jesus is to reclaim this world, to make it right again, the righteousness of God. And Paul says that this righteousness is made true particularly in a few whom he labels believers. Those who believe, he writes. The people of the church in Rome who received the letter. Others who trust this work of God. Us, even, who have heard these words again today. Believers. Those whom God has chosen. Perhaps, however, we've turned the idea of believer into something that we can claim, something we can possess for our own and wear as a badge of honor, an endorsement by God because of our good behavior, or just the lucky happenstance of being born into the right family. I believe. I've decided. I will be the one who claims God as my own, rather than the other way around. But believers have never been a product of their own making. Believers are not those of us who have seen the light and chosen to hold a certain set of thoughts in our brains. Rather, to be a believer is to have been chosen by God, as one who will carry the echo of God's saving word into the lives and hearts of others. Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. If you bear the echo of that you have heard and seen in me, if you speak unto the people around you the saving righteousness of God, that has come from me again and again and again, continuously, as many times as needed to be said and heard, then there will be truth. Then there will be freedom." Once upon a time, at that natural place of echo, Tewa storytellers practiced their words, allowed themselves to hear their own words, so that the stories could be told in all of their fullness and wonder and passed on to the truth of their culture. Years later, a couple of kids scrambled up out of their parents' car and hustled up the path to experience the wonder of hearing their own voices bounce off the canyon wall. We are the ones who have heard the word of God in Jesus. We have felt its power to transform us, to reform us where we have been in error, to comfort us in our griefs and sorrows and inspire us to live lives of joy and wonder and hope and peace. Paul says we are justified by his grace as a gift. And so the echo is in us. But unlike the canyon walls in New Mexico, the word doesn't have to bounce back to be heard in the same spot it was spoken. Rather, the echo can travel out of here, out of this place that it is spoken once and repeated in the world among those who are hurting, those who are oppressed, those who hear only words of hate and discrimination. The echo of God is the life of Christ that we are called to live. A life of love and grace, of sacrifice and of generosity and truth. When my sister and I heard the words of our own voices bounce off that canyon wall, we were amazed. Imagine the amazement, the joy, the hope, the freedom to be experienced by those who hear God's saving words in our voices. Be the echo. Be the voice of God.